Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to my Show Me the Science podcast. And this week, another request. I love requests because then it means someone's listening. But this is a special one. A man by the name of Peter Devers. And Peter has a very important birthday coming up with his twin. Peter is a twin. And he asked me to cover the science of twins, which I'm very happy to do because twins are really interesting as people, obviously, but they're also interesting from a scientific point of view for all kinds of reasons. And I'm going to give you, Peter, why twins are really important. And you can tell your twin how important the whole thing of twins is. Now, of course, what is twinning? Two types of twins, I guess, as most people will know. There is the identical twin. And what happens there is the egg gets fertilized and then it splits in two, and then two embryos grow from that. And because they've originated in one fertilized egg, which copies its DNA, they're identical. The genes that they're carrying are identical, hence the term identical twins. The other type is fraternal twins. And that's where there's two eggs and two sperm, basically, and it's a bit like siblings, but the two eggs implant and then the two embryos grow, and they would be like any brother and sister, whatever it is, because they're from two separate eggs and two separate sperm. And of course, they're both really interesting, aren't they? And it's wonderful to compare identical and fraternal twins in various ways to try to unravel some of the complexity of us as human beings. Because obviously, if you take fraternal twins, try to figure out what their similarities and differences are versus identical twins, you might figure out how genetics plays a key role in things. And it's important what we call as a control in science, because sometimes, let's say two identical twins are born and maybe they turn out to both love Beethoven, as an example. If fraternal twins love Beethoven, it's less likely to be genetic. It could be environmental. In other words, the parents are playing Beethoven the whole time. But if only the identical twins love Beethoven without that, then that means the genetics is more important. And that's the idea of comparing identical to fraternal. And why it happens is intriguing. It's not fully clear why this identical thing happens and why the fertilized egg was split in that way. It's still a bit of a mystery. But one thing that's very clear is the rate of twinning is going up in the world. And that's a real interesting fact, isn't it? So in the US, where they've studied this most, the rate of twinning went up 76% between 1980 and 2009. And that means, you know, for some reason, and it's probably environmental, we're seeing more splitting of the embryo or more likelihood of two eggs being fertilized. And the numbers went from 9.4 sets of twins, that the 0.4 is statistical, up to 16.7 per 1,000 births, if you can follow me. And that's the evidence of the 76% increase. And again, it's not very clear why that is. There's a few theories. And I don't think it's unique to identical twins. It was the same with the fraternal ones as well. And one really interesting study, which I came across, Peter, when I did my research for this, the Aruba people, they have the highest twin rate of any people, any ethnic group, I guess you'd call it, in the world. They're getting 50 twin sets per 1,000. Now remember, in the US, it's at 16.7. So why are the Aruba people giving birth to so many twins? And they've looked at this closely, and they think it's to do with yams. Now, the Aruba people eat yams, sweet potatoes, and yams are very rich in things called phytoestrogens. So that type of food stuff has an estrogen-like molecule in it. And guess what that does to women? It releases more eggs. And that might be the reason. In other words, if a woman has more eggs floating around, as it were, and then the sperm goes in, there's a chance of more than one egg being fertilized. And this was fraternal twins, obviously. So the fraternal twin rate in the Aruba people is extremely high. Now, that's important because it tells us the environment then can influence this. And there's something in that particular environment for the Aruba people that's driving this. The identical twins, it's called monozygotic, from one zygote. That's actually quite rare anyway. It's 3 to 4 every 1,000 births will be identical. So it's pretty rare compared to the fraternal twin rate. The other fascinating thing, I think, is you can get fraternal twins with two different fathers. Isn't that intriguing? And they as a group are interesting to study, obviously, because you're looking at the impact of the father being different with the one mother. They're interesting to look at as well. But this business of monozygotic is a single zygote that splits. Dizygotic means two separate eggs being fertilized is the technical term for that. Another little fact for you that struck me as interesting is the delivery interval. So one twin gets born. How quick does the other twin get born? 76%, the second twin comes out within 15 minutes, but rarely about 2% an hour later. Can you imagine that? Now, of course, that's interesting. The other twin then spending longer to get born, would that affect that twin in some way, you know, in terms of its personality or its behavior or whatever it might be? So again, they're studying that, the interval between the two twins being born, and does that impact on things as well? Now, because this all sounds very scientific, doesn't it, and a little bit creepy at one level, but certainly scientists love to study things. And these are very interesting questions to ask in terms of how these things might have effects on us, I guess, as a species. And the latest stuff that's really interesting is identical twins are not necessarily identical. Now, this is important because imagine for a minute you're studying some trait and you study identical twins and you study fraternal twins and you're trying to figure out again how much genetics was part of that trait. You're assuming that the identical twins are genetically identical and you're coming to your conclusions about them as a result. Well, guess what? They're not fully identical. Now, how was that discovered? Well, two twins were born, right, who were identical, they had evidence for that, and they different faces. Can you imagine? And of course, we do know, if you know any identical twins, and I know a couple of identical twins, their faces look identical. But yet these twins, to all intents and purposes, were identical, but they different faces. Guess what had happened? Genes that control your face, as it were, and the shape of your face, turned out to have got modified in some way after fertilization. Now, the modification was probably what's called epigenetic. Now, the code, of course, the DNA code, codes for genes. The genes are there, and the genes make proteins, and you will carry the same genes if you're identical twins, but you can mark the genes differently, and the environment actually can put marks on the genes, and that's called epigenetic marks, and that can alter the gene. It usually alters the volume control on the gene, if you know what I mean. So one mark might ramp the gene up, another mark doesn't do that. And they think what happened with these two twins in particular was certain genes were marked, and those genes governed the type of face that they would get, the shape of their face. And there was a slight difference then in the shape of the face. And this epigenetics then turns out to be one reason why identical twins might show differences. And that's interesting in itself. The second thing is, of course, as cells divide and copy the DNA, sometimes tiny errors go into the DNA. And that could happen with twins as well. So in other words, at the start, they're identical and all the genes are the same. But as each embryo develops, maybe slight errors creep into the DNA or changes in the DNA, and then they're slightly different. That's minimal. We do know that identical twins are the huge sort of identical identity in terms of genes in them anyway. So these differences are slightly different. But it's important because it's informing twin studies now. They're not quite identical as you might think. And so therefore some of your conclusions mightn't be as robust as you think. And that was the recent development in terms of identical twins not exactly being identical. Now, let's look at some of the wonderful things that studies of twins have brought us. Before we get to the serious stuff, there was some evidence of telepathy. Now get that. And you hear anecdotally sometimes, one twin living in America will feel something and the other twin picks up on it, who are living in Ireland, and something's happening there, spooky as it may seem, or even not that distance. There's no evidence for that, it turns out. So we don't think twins can pick up on each other's thoughts. Let's rule that out for the moment anyway. If they did, wouldn't it be fantastic? We'd love to see if that was the case. The brains are transmitting some signal that can be detected by your identical twin. But so far, just in case, Peter, you're wondering with your sibling, you can't really read your twin's thoughts. That's important to get that on record. But where there have been great advances is the top studies on this. Breast cancer. They looked at the rate of breast cancer in identical twins versus fraternal. They noticed that there was a genetic component. So the breast cancer was more likely in the identical twins than the fraternal. And they found a gene called LSP1 was slightly different. And that was identified in identical twins who are at risk of developing breast cancer, which is really interesting. And LSP1 does control the epigenome. It seems to control the marks on DNA. And that's given rise to research into that particular gene. And again, you can imagine if that panned out, you could identify that and figure out if that's a cause or a risk factor for breast cancer. There was one. Secondly, epilepsy, a very serious condition. Again, looking at twin studies, they found a genetic component in epilepsy, and some genes have been found, variants thereof, that put people at risk of developing epilepsy. And again, you'll see identical twins with a higher rate of it. And they home in on that then and try to find the genes in those twins. And again, that could be very useful for new treatments for epilepsy, very importantly. Aging turns out to be another one. And again, twins are inclined to live the same lifespan if they're identical, less if they're fraternal. Now, again, that's important, again, remember, because if it was environmental, the fraternal ones who grow up in the same situation might live to the same ripe old age, less likely in fraternal versus identical. So again, there seems to be something genetic about healthy aging. And that's another one that there's a few genes in the mix there. And then a really nice one was mathematical ability. And that turns out to be 75% genetic. And we've kind of always suspected that, because certainly some families, their people are better at maths than others. But again, the 25% environmental bit's really important, because that can impact on mathematical skill usually. But still, mathematical ability, there's a big genetic component there. And then reading and writing ability, again, creativity, was 50% genetic, not quite as high as the mathematical part, I guess. But again, those studies are telling us something about these very, very complex traits that occur, and again, could be useful in all kinds of ways. And remember, I can't emphasize enough that the environmental impact on these things is still significant. So that means, of course, you can teach people to be good at maths environmentally as well. But there does seem to be specific genes. I think we're talking about the far end of the mathematical skills, and some people I know are wizards at maths, aren't they? The vast majority of us are in the middle, and education can hugely help our mathematical abilities along those lines. And then one other thing I want to tell you about is a couple of really interesting studies that were done on twins. One big one was called the Thomas Bouchard study. He was the lead scientist, and it was done in Minnesota, and it was a study on twins reared apart. This can be very useful. For whatever reason, you get twins being born and then they're separated at birth, and then they go into different families or different environments or different situations. And again, you can look at the environmental impact then if they're growing up in a slightly different situation. And they looked at 137 pairs of twins that were separated at birth, as it were, and some were identical. Again, some were fraternal, and you could compare those two as well. And the most interesting one that came out of that study were called the Jim twins. And they were twins. One was called Jim Springer and the other was called Jim Lewis. They were both called Jim, and they went to different families, the Springers and the Lewises. And rather generously of them, they allowed themselves to be quizzed, I suppose, and examined in various ways. They were separated at 4 weeks of age, and they were reunited at the age of 39. Now, isn't that interesting? And the big question was, how did they get on? Well, guess what? They were really similar. They had similar personalities. They had very similar IQs, right? They were put through various personality tests. They were quizzed for their interests. Now, their upbringing was very, very different. The Lewises versus the Springers had totally different ways of raising their kids. I don't know what the details are, but I know even in my experience, I'm sure you all agree, some households, if they're sporty, they teach the kids sport, don't they? If they're not, they mightn't. So the way these two Jims were brought up are very different. And yet, guess this, they turned out to have very similar interests. They were both very good at mechanical drawing, and there was no environmental explanation for that. It wasn't as if one of them was taught that and the other wasn't. They were very good at lettering, right? They're very, very kind of good at art, and they could do lettering very effectively. And they discovered this by talking to each other, and they were very good at carpentry. And again, it wasn't because the Lewises were carpenters. Fingers weren't. It seemed to be something innate in them. Now, again, it's only two, so you got to be careful how you draw conclusions from this. But maybe there's genetic traits that allow you to be good at mechanical drawing or carpentry. And again, they're trying to find out what these things are. And that study is provoking other studies. And then a second study that really got me was female twins who were identical, were separated again very early on. One went to live in the US and one went to live in South Korea. Now, the scientists would love that, because South Korea has a different, obviously there's similarities culturally, but there's differences between how a South Korean parents raise their kid versus the US. And the first thing they thought of was there was a bigger IQ difference compared to the Jims. And that was interesting. Why would that be? Slightly different in IQ score, whereas the two Jims had almost identical IQ scores. But then once they looked at their personalities, yet again, very similar. And that, again, as I say, the genetic basis for personality then is strongly suggested from that study. Because again, if it was environmental, you might expect to see different personalities. And in particular, they were both girls or women when they were analysed, very purposeful, very well organised. You know, they seem to have a high level of organisation, and they're very dutiful. Now, how you measure these things, I don't know. But these three traits stood out as being high in the two people who were separated at birth. And again, it just shows you then there must be a genetic basis if you're very purposeful, which is intriguing to hear about, isn't it? And then the last study I want to tell you about is called the Twin E study. And that was 1,600 identical twins, right, were studied closely. And they were set all these different tasks. And again, because there were so many sets of identical twins, the conclusions drawn were pretty robust. And it turns out there was a big genetic component in how the brain processes fear. They could test the fear response in them. They showed them nasty, sort of disturbing pictures to frighten them. And they noticed that the processing of fear was very similar between identical twins versus fraternal, again, as a bigger group. And also how the brain processes happy signals seemed to be similar between the twins as well. And that must have a big genetic component in it. And then the other one that didn't seem to be genetic was sustaining attention. It was a way of testing if you can sustain your attention on something, and that was less genetic. Now, again, you got to take these studies with a pinch of salt, because it's all about filling in questionnaires, really, and that can have all kinds of problems, I guess, scientifically. But still, it was intriguing that in that 1600 identical twin study, brain processing of fear seemed to be genetic, and also the capacity to sustain attention seemed to be genetic as well. And again, we'd love to know more about those things, because again, you could perhaps help, you know, promote attention span, or maybe promote the fear response in various ways by studying more about the basis for these things. So overall, it tells us that some of these very complex traits do seem to have a genetic basis. And again, I imagine the scientists are very grateful to the twins for allowing themselves to be studied in this way to uncover these particular traits. And it's still very much a big area for geneticists to be comparing twins in this way to try and find the genetic basis for disease in particular. And then from that information, you could well come up with new therapies. And especially, I think, the earlier example I gave of breast cancer and epilepsy, those two big ones. We need new treatments for epilepsy, which can be very severe. And we need new treatments for cancer. So again, the twin studies might help us discover the basis for those very important medical conditions. And as I say, a big thank you for the twins for allowing themselves to be studied in this way. So there you have it. That's especially for you, Peter, the science of twins. A few interesting aspects there. And all I can do is finish by saying a very happy birthday to you and your twin, and keep going. And don't hesitate to send me a blood sample. I'll assess you for various things. So thanks as ever for listening. My podcast is a News Talk production, available for download every Thursday.